On the Ground is produced by the Global NGO Executive Committee, a storied nonprofit that has for 60 years partnered with the United Nations to guarantee a voice at the decision-making table for civil society leaders. GNEC offers services to more than 1,600 UN-vetted global NGOs, which are on the front lines of tackling the most pressing issues of our time. I'm Adrienne Berg, a member of the NGO Committee on Aging New York and the host of On the Ground. And hello, hello, hello. We have a wonderful guest today, a guest who's going to illuminate a program at the United Nations that I bet you've all heard of and many of you have already supported. And that is the United Nations Decade of Healthy Aging, 2021 to 2030. His name is Kazuki Yamada. He is the technical officer at WHO, the World Health Organization. And in particular, he's very involved with demographic change and healthy aging. It is a separate unit, a department for social determinants of health. And we're going to be talking all about that as well as the program. So thank you so much for being with us today.
No, thanks so much for having me.
Well, let's start with this. First of all, let's just get a little overview of the UN Decade of Healthy Aging and why it's a part of WHO. Why did WHO, the World Health Organization, adopt this goal, healthy aging?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the World Health Organization has been involved in programs and initiatives related to healthy aging for a while now. And I want to maybe start by avoiding a few misconceptions. So when we say healthy aging, most people think about health. Well, obviously, because it's a concept that the World Health Organization also introduced in the World Report on Aging and Health that we released, I think, more than a couple of years back. And when you hear healthy aging and health, one would expect that it's all about clinical or medical health, but it's not.
It's physicality, physical health.
Yeah, absolutely. More than physical health, because the World Health Organization's definition of health is not just the absence of disease. It's complete and total physical, mental, social well-being. So it's more than just clinical or medical health. It has to do with the communities you live in, the cities you live in, and all that stuff. So healthy aging is really about not just your biological state of health, which is also very important as you age, obviously, but how this interacts with the environments in which you live in, everything from the skin outside that helps you do whatever you want to do and be whatever you want to be, regardless of what conditions you're managing or what your health status may be. Because if our environments support us, we can continue to be and do what we want, even if we have declines in function. So that's about healthy aging. And the UN Decade of Healthy Aging was really declared by the World Health Organization's member states and also the United Nations, because you might have heard 2030, we have the Sustainable Development Goals to achieve. And we made a promise, the member states, to achieve these goals. But by declaring the decade, the member states also recognize that, okay, if we want to achieve the goals that are in these SDGs, better health and gender equality and all these important goals, if we want to achieve these, we can't do it without paying attention to the fact that our lives are growing older, which is something to celebrate, obviously. And populations around the world are getting older, which is fantastic because it means that we're managing to reduce mortality and disease and earlier in age. So our lives are growing longer, but our longer lives are not necessarily healthier lives because we might live long, but if our longer years are lived in poor health, and here remember that health is more than just disease, it's about overall well-being. If we're living in poor health but still living longer, we're not able to enjoy and take advantage of these longer lives. So the UN Decade of Healthy Aging was declared because member states said, look, we need to achieve these Sustainable Development Goals by 2030, and we're living longer, but living healthier as well with these longer lives will be essential to achieving these Sustainable Development Goals. So this is really a call from the member states, and these countries also are involved in this global collaboration to work together, not just governments, but civil society, academia, the media, private sector, and more, to really work together in new ways to transform the world to be a better place to grow older for current and future generations.
Well, fantastic goals, of course, but then there's realities. Let's take a look at some realities. There is demographic change, no doubt. People are living longer, and that is across the board, including in Africa and other countries that we think might not be the case, but it is the case. However, there's a lot of what today, and it's an incredible phrase I think is going around, called longevity inequality. where there are places where you can buy the drugs you need or the nutraceuticals or the better food, or as you say, have the environment built in such a way that you can thrive as you age. And other environments that are just the opposite. It's very difficult to have access to health care. You mentioned gender inequality in there. That happens. So how are you tackling this in terms of such built-in inequality? Are you concentrating on certain regions, or is it something that you're expecting to burgeon as people get the message about healthy longevity?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Adrian, as you mentioned, I'd want to also combat another misconception, which you alluded to, that healthy aging is not just for, you know, developed countries, high-income countries, whatever you want to call it. In fact, by 2050, 80% of older people, there are many definitions for older people here, obviously, but here I mean people aged 60 years and older. 80% of older people in 2050 will be living in low- and middle-income countries. So the UN Decade of Healthy Aging is really about low- and middle-income countries and those countries that have, as you said, might be experiencing inequities in terms of how their environments and their health systems and their long-term care systems support people to age in a way that is healthy and in a way that supports them to be and do what they value. So what are we doing about this? As the Secretariat of the UN Decade of Healthy Aging, we don't expect to be able to do everything to be able to change the world. But the UN Decade is really a call for everyone to join in and work together. This means, for example, taking off my Secretariat hat and putting on my WHO-specific hat. This means, for example, working closely with our regional colleagues at WHO region offices and even at country office level, so with specific countries who express that they recognize that aging is an opportunity that they want to unlock in their countries or regions. And they come to us and say, how can we do this? How can we align with the evidence that's being found and with the action plan that the UN Decade of Healthy Aging has outlined? How can we unlock the possibilities of longer lives in our regions and countries? So when we receive these requests as WHO, we respond to that. And we really hope, and we do see that other agencies of the UN under the UN Decade of Healthy Aging also respond to this. And the one thing I want to emphasize here is that it's not about, sometimes it is about taking best practices or lessons learned from higher income countries and applying them in lower or middle income countries. In fact, central to the UN Decade of Healthy Aging is the fact that actually there's a lot that we could learn from how healthy aging is being fostered in low and middle income countries, sometimes in very resource in settings that have less resources, and how we can draw on those lessons learned to apply them to all the areas of the world. Because as we know, resourcing is a really big issue about healthy aging. And sometimes in higher income countries, the systems of care are already so developed and concretized that it's difficult to change them in ways that respond to the needs of older people better. And sometimes in areas like low and middle income countries, there is greater possibility and greater flexibility to imagine new ways of caring for each other and for older people that are more responsive to how we need to be in order to foster healthy aging for everyone. So in a way, I'm saying everyone has something to contribute, but we're doing our best in our own ways.
Well, certainly, I think that the West has been very influenced by the East, Eastern medicine, meditations, also conservation, the beauty of nature, and some of that is more practiced in what we now call third world countries, developing countries, than it is in the West. So learning from each other, it works, because this definition, as I'm understanding it from you, is extremely holistic. And we come back. I want to add something to that, and that is the environmental conditions, because clearly aging is very much affected, because health is very much affected. And psychology is affected by the environment in which you live. So nothing is really separate. Don't you guys go anywhere. And now, news you can use. I recently went to the United Nations in New York City, and many of you know that I work with the UN in a variety of different ways. Now, I recently visited the United Nations to celebrate the International Day of Older Persons. We call it UNIDAP. A United Nations working group will report on a treaty for the human rights of older persons in March of 2024. Join advocacy groups like NGO Committee on Aging, International Federation on Aging, and many, many others. Hello, this is Adrienne Berg, and we are back from our News You Can Use. And we are here with Kazuki Yamada, and he is a technical officer, World Health Organization, very much steeped in the demographic changes and healthy aging that's going on worldwide, and very much a part of promoting the UN Decade of Healthy Aging, which is 2021 to 2030, with a lot of very lofty goals, many of which are working through international cooperation. So one of the things I wanted to speak to you about, Kazuki, is this. That is the environmental component of aging. We do talk, and we have constant news worldwide about physical environmental changes, weather changes, fires, and of course, issues with regard to animal life. And we don't necessarily associate that with healthy aging. But at the World Health Organization, the holistic view does bring this total picture in. So has that been addressed? And if so, in what way in the efforts that you're making in the UN Decade of Healthy Aging?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I just want to be clear at the outset that, of course, I speak for WHO here, but this is also the case amongst many UN agencies. I know, because the UN Decade of Healthy Aging is not a WHO decade, but a UN-wide effort. But regard to your specific question, let me just throw a factoid out here. The evidence clearly shows that all of our outcomes that we experience in later life meaning maybe the second half of life, if you want, of the outcomes that we experience in later life, only 25% are those that are related to our biology. So our genetics, our biological makeup, and this, we assume, composes most of our outcomes of aging, but actually it's only 25%. The other 75% of factors that influence the outcomes in later life are environmental. And here, of course, you mentioned fires, animals, the environment, climate change, and all that stuff. But environment is really, broadly speaking, everything that begins at our skin outwards. So the houses that we live in, the education that we receive, the policies that we live under, all of these things that are not within our body are part of the environment. And 75% of our outcomes in later life are shaped by the environment, which is fantastic because actually the environment is something that is much more easily changed sometimes than our biology. So our approach at WHO specifically and the approach that the UN Decade of Healthy Aging has adopted through the concept of healthy aging really takes this environmental focus. And one of the action areas of the UN Decade of Healthy Aging is actually age-friendly environments, developing environments that are better places to live for all ages, including older people. Because if you design for older people, you design for all ages. So it's really important to, when hearing about healthy aging, you might just think about clinical or medical health, but it's really, we need to take a broad, multi-sectoral perspective. It's not just the health sector that have roles to play in fostering healthy aging. It's also our urban planners, our broader governments, our schools, our park designers, our architects. It's really a broad thing to do, and everyone has a role to play in creating a better place to grow older for everyone.
No, yeah, and in your saying this, and you're saying that 75%, I've worked with a lot of geroscientists, they'll say even less genetics impacts your aging. Some folks say that only 7% of your actual DNA, your genetics, affects your aging. Everything else is the environment, your experience, your access to learning, good health care, the relationships you have, and your own habits. So in that, we have a lot of geroscientists all over the world that are looking at the social, what they call the social determinants of health or aging. Did you grow up? I know you've been involved with elder abuse. What about child abuse? These are all things that affect your aging. They call it social determinants. And that's actually part of your unit title, Department for Social Determinants of Health. Can you expand on that a little bit? Explain to us what that means.
I mean, it really means what I just mentioned, that there are things around us in our environments, in the way we structure our societies, that shape our health outcomes later in life. So I think in 2021, WHO released an article. And one of the biggest examples of a social determinant of healthy aging, perhaps if you want to call it that, that we're paying attention to in recent years is ageism. So this is the way we think, feel, and act towards others or self based on age. Thinking, feeling, and acting can also be rephrased as stereotypes, prejudices, and discrimination based on age. So this we call a social determinant of health, or a social determinant of healthy aging, that has been overlooked so far, because the way we think or feel or act around aging is not determined by biology. There's nothing inherent in the way we are physically and biologically that determines how we think about aging. But our culture, our broader societies, the way we get an education, the media that we consume, these are all parts of society and culture that we're steeped in from the moment we're born. But this is not inherent to our biology. However, the narratives that exist in these elements of society shape the way we think around aging, sometimes in a negative way. For example, we make assumptions that older people are inevitably going to become frail, or inevitably going to become, you know, requiring massive amounts of money to support in later life. But we know from the evidence, obviously, that our biological outcomes and our health outcomes in later life are diverse. There's no single type of older person. Every older person is different. So these stereotypes and narratives that we pick up from our broader society actually shape our health outcomes, because a study found that if you have negative thoughts or conceptions about your later life, you could live as little as 7.5 years less than what you would have if you were thinking more positive about aging. So this is not inherent to our biology. This is caused by ageism, which is caused by society. So this is one concrete example of a way to think around the social determinants of health. The determinants of health that are not determined by the way your biology develops or influenced, but the way they're shaped by the societies, the cultures, the communities, and the relationships we have that we move within.
You know, it's a wonderful example of how all views of other human beings can change with the promotion of new ideas. Because really and truly, Janet Sainer, New York, well, I guess you would call her not so much a gerontologist, but a thinker in the field of gerontology, a leader, because she was also very political in the promotion of the rights of older people in the New York area, and it spread. And she used to say something very similar to what you just said, which was, all babies are the same and all seniors are different. But we're generally looked at as a monolithic group. Gray hair, that's it. And once that happens, we can become very, very invisible. And that's one of the things that's changing here because of the United Nations, as you say, a pan effort throughout. Now, when we come back, what I want to ask you is, might be a tough question, we'll see, which is this: what's working? What's working with all these efforts, and there's lots of them, and wonderful hashtags that I love on social media posts, such as put more life in your years, and now we understand what that means by listening to you. What is happening so that in 2030 we can look back to 2021 and say, hey, the needle has moved. We'll be right back. And now, news you can use. News you can use is that there is a new prize in town. It started only a couple of years ago by an NGO, and it's called the Earth Prize. And you can take a look at theearthprize.org. I had the privilege of being in Los Angeles for the celebration called Gratitude of the Earth Prize. And we will be having the mentors of the teens that come up with special solutions to difficult earth and environmental problems on our show. And we're always looking for really interesting NGOs that are doing something that they can share, not only their own story, but as we're hearing on the show today, how you can use what they've learned. So take a look at theearthprize.org. I was blown away by these teenagers that created things like a way to save water in laundry, when you do the laundry, like creating plastic from watermelon seeds. Yes, you heard that correctly. And so much more. One of the things I did not know was that 60% of food waste does not come from retail stores and what we don't eat. It comes from disease on the farm. And so one of the groups, one of the winners of the Earth Prize, created a way to early detect insect disease so that it can more quickly be taken care of. And this is making a huge difference to farmers actually all over the world. So you can be inspired by these folks. That's the Earth Prize. And hello once again. And that was a little more news that you could use. And we are back with our guest, Kazuki Yamada, soon to be Dr. Kazuki Yamada, because of course he doesn't have enough degrees. He's taking his joint PhD in the medical humanities with the University of Exeter in the UK. He's speaking to us right now from Geneva. And he is the technical officer, World Health Organization, and a particular unit, Demographic Change and Healthy Aging. And he's been speaking to us today about the United Nations Decade of Healthy Aging, 2021 to 2030. We're going to speak to him a little bit about what's working, what's really happening, so that at the end of the day, when they look back, they take a look at what's occurred in the last 10 years in 2030, they'll say, gee, this was worth doing. And of course, one of his major platforms that you can take a look at is the Decades Knowledge Exchange platform, because I want to not only ask you, Dr. DeBee, how people can get involved, but also what's working. So let's start with that. Somebody hears this and they say, well, I'm an NGO. I'm somebody in civil society. I'm an individual. I'm in politics in my country. I'm a leader in my country. Wherever I care about aging, I'm in that field. What can they do to participate in this?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a fantastic question. And, you know, the main point of one of the main points of the UN Decade of Healthy Aging is that it sets a framework and a plan of action that everyone can follow. And this is really important because there are already so many initiatives around the world that is working to foster healthy aging. And we see so many examples of this in the knowledge platform that you just mentioned. So many people and organizations around the world are sharing what they've learned and what they're doing about healthy aging on the platform so that everyone else can learn from that and gain something to maybe apply to their own initiatives. But the main thing is that we have a framework that's been, you know, endorsed by the member states of the UN, and we have a plan of action. But the UN decade really depends on what organizations, countries, researchers, civil society, private sector companies are specifically going to be doing in the next, 7 years now of the UN decade of healthy aging. So it's really about what organizations and entities are going to be doing under the UN decade, because anything that they do to foster healthy aging will be a contribution to the UN decade. So first of all, it's important to understand that if you're working on healthy aging now, you're already contributing to the UN decade. If you haven't done so yet, the UN decade is your opportunity to learn about this and take action, because there are so many opportunities to be had to make sure that our later lives are things that we can enjoy and take full value from. But once you've taken action, what can you do? We do a lot of effort in the UN Decade of Healthy Aging Secretariat to provide ways to allow any organization or entity around the world to make the connection with the UN Decade, because it's really important to build a movement around healthy aging. And under the UN, there are not many opportunities to do so, but the UN Decade is one of them. For example, Adrian, you just mentioned the UN Decade of Healthy Aging platform. You can find this at decadeofhealthyaging.org. Anyone can visit it. It's available in English, French, and Spanish. And anyone can simply share what they're doing on healthy aging and put it up there for the global community to see. That's really important. But there's also on the Decade platform what we call a partnering kit. And if you're doing something that fosters healthy aging or is working to improve the lives of older people, you can use the resources in this partnering kit to really make clear that your project is a contribution to the decade. And this even includes a specific logo you can use to really say, hey, I'm doing this for the UN decade and it's contributing to the UN decade. And this is kind of a win-win situation because obviously we get to celebrate your work and you get to frame your initiative as a contribution to this global initiative that countries and organizations and companies around the world are working together to foster healthy aging. And this is, I think, a really important way to get involved because we're all doing something on healthy aging, many of us, but it's about time we speak with one voice and work together in synergy to really transform things to be better for current and future generations of older people. So it's time that we change the way we do business together. And the UN decade is one of the opportunities to do so. And we try to provide as many channels as possible to really make that happen and make these new connections happen.
Well, you know, it is so wonderful. And I want to expand everybody's thinking, because what you said is so true. Most of us, and certainly most of the people listening, whether they are NGOs, individuals, people interested in aging, or people in the field of aging, are doing something right now. Right now. And I'm going to give you a personal example, because I want you to expand your thinking about going to that site and taking a look at the platform, the decades knowledge exchange platform. We're going to get that URL in a minute again from you. But simple example, one of my podcasts has to do with travel, simply travel for older adults, the ageless traveler. Well, part of the reason that I started it was so that people who were older, who had lost a partner, could be a friend, or whose partners or friends no longer travel, are still empowered so they could go out and travel and get out there and meet new friends. And relationships are extremely big part of healthy aging. But I would not have, without this decade of healthy aging, put on my website or my logos or use the logo that made me a part of this. But it is a part of it. And so I want you to expand your own thinking as you're listening. I bet you're a part of it in some way too. So tell me, everybody, again, that platform they should go to. And then you're going to dazzle us a little bit about some of the favorite things you've seen happen, what you've really liked. I know there's so many, but pick some of your favorites. But first, what is the platform everyone should go to?
So please visit us at decadeofhealthyaging.org. And that's aging with an E.
Yes, because it's the international way of spelling aging. And my Grammarly keeps taking the E out every time I write aging. But yes. Okay. Now, here's some fun for you. You've been such a terrific guest. Some things probably did tickle you that you saw happen, that you said, ah, that we're here. What was one or two of your favorites that's come out in the few years already that we've been involved in the decade of healthy aging?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is from my perspective of looking through what people have submitted and what people are doing.
Sure.
One of the things that I wanted to, you know, that comes to the top of my mind is, if we're speaking to a U.S. audience, they'll be very familiar with AARP. A really huge organization that supports older people in America. And one of the things that I was really impressed by, personally speaking, I'm not representing anyone, is this thing they're doing. It's part of this something called the Aging Readiness and Competitiveness Initiative. And what they do here is they really take the initiative to look at policies across the world from different countries, and they take a look at which policies are working to foster healthy aging. So from a technical perspective, that really was impressive, because it really took the decades kind of ethos of saying there's something we can learn from every country, every organization in the world, and we need to record that knowledge and make it available for others so that they can learn something from it. And that really reflects what we want to do with the Decade platform, which is everyone is doing something probably on healthy aging, but they haven't quite recorded it for others to benefit from. And one of the ethos of the UN Decade is that we need to record and share this so that we have it somewhere and others can take from it what they can to apply in their own unique ways. And this is the type of way, this is the way that, this is the way forward in order to get that innovation happening for the UN Decade. So that's something that's foremost on my head. Another example that maybe I want to throw out here is there's this fantastic project that I was aware of. It's about dementia, people who are living with dementia, and the role that music can play in not bringing out, but how do I put this, in kind of getting these people engaged and seeing their personalities as they are. Because if you're living with dementia, often you are, you know, dehumanized, you're not really viewed as a full person, and it's really difficult to engage. I mean, for valid reasons, because sometimes it can be challenging. But when these organizations play music, and sometimes the favorite music that these people living with dementia have, you really see that they're see them in their full human personality. They start dancing. They're alive. Their faces light up, and it's really a fantastic way for me to think about okay, what other avenues beyond kind of the usual ways of thinking about dementia, which is about, you know, care facilities and really medicalized treatments, but the role that creative arts can also play in kind of recognizing everyone's personhood, no matter where you are in life or whether you have particular conditions or kind of declines in ability that might have led some people to view you as less than human. Because whether or not we need support to care for ourselves, that shouldn't be a barrier to being able to live with dignity and rights. So this Music for Dementia campaign and initiative was really something that I was really happy about, because, you know, it shows us that we all have a role to play, even, you know, I don't want to say even, but including the humanities and the creative arts, which is really where sometimes the much of life in human life comes from.
And happiness. And I'll cite, because I've been in the field for a long time, there was a wonderful conductor, and he started something called Conductorcise. And it was an exercise of the upper body for people with dementia. And we did actually have on one of our broadcasts, one of our radio broadcasts, him doing this with a group that were all had dementia in assisted living in nursing homes. And you should have seen them conduct, because the music that he chose was music familiar to him. And there they were, sitting mostly in wheelchairs, and you would think that they were not with us. That music began to play, and they were like an orchestra. It was beautiful. And we've seen this with Tony Bennett, who has gone on stage. He has dementia. And the moment he begins to sing, everything changes. And his faculties are really snap into place. So there are so many of these things. But what I want to bring out from you are two examples here. One is dealing with dementia. The other is a major organization, AARP, doing studies and aggregating information for the world. Two such different things. And yet both are taking leadership in healthy aging, as are you. So absolutely. I thank you so much for being with us today. This was fantastic. And for everybody else, get out there, kids, and make it happen. This is Adrienne Berg saying goodbye for now from On the Ground. See you soon.